Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, May 13th, 2013. How are ya? How's it going? Uh-oh, May 13th, 2013. A lot of 13s. Are you superstitious? Do you think 13's an unlucky number? Let me ask you this. Why? Why do you think it's unlucky? Because you were told that from the day you were born? You know? Stay away from that 13. It's a fucking bad egg.
Really?
Yeah, it's a number. You know, without 13, you can't get to 14. You know, you realize how fucking childish that is? Like all these hotels where they call the 13th floor the 14th floor. You know? It's like, dude, we're on the 13th floor. I don't give a shit what you call it. You start calling an apple an orange, I bite into it, it's still a fucking apple. You know, I don't understand, like, the thing that I will never get past is how fucking childish adults are. That, you know, these fucking hotels had to not have a 13th floor because there's so many fucking people that believe in that horseshit that they literally will, they won't, I don't want to stay on the 13th floor. Why? Because you're worried the 14th floor is going to collapse onto it? You stupid fucks. You know, and you know what kills me? No, Bill, what kills you? Well, I'll tell you, goddammit. What kills me is how, because of the dollar, these fucking people, they pander to them. I want to get a room in the hotel. Okay, we got 1306. I can't stay on the 13th floor. I can't stay. I need another floor. 13's unlucky. And what do? They give them another floor. You know? Right there, they should be like, well, listen, why don't you fucking grow up? What do you think? We used a less grade of quality concrete when we made that floor, you asshole? You know what? Fuck you. We don't want you staying at this hotel. I don't know. You know, it's like that guy up in Toronto, right? Maple Leafs fan. Who made the Toronto Stronger sign. And the amount of outrage on that. It's like, how old are people? You know? You're going to get upset by that? Don't make fun of our sign! You know, and then you're looking at the guy like, what, you think he actually supports the terrorists? Like, how fucking old are people? Drives me up the fucking wall. I saw that. I didn't see the sign. Somebody tweeted to me that, you know, that someone made that sign, and it made me laugh. Because I knew what he meant. I know he doesn't support the fucking terrorists. You know, what happened was, that Boston Strong came about because of those attacks. And then the Bruins started wearing it. And after you see enough pictures, like Marshawn and those guys, which says Boston Strong, it kind of also morphs into we're saying that our team's stronger than your team. That's all it is. I'm not gonna lie to you. The ribbon was a little far. All right? But what the fuck? Can we just be adults and stop getting fucking outraged? Oh, I'm saying we. I got to stop doing that. That's the most annoying thing ever. Can a number of you become adults? Okay? And stop having outrage over absolute fucking bullshit. And maybe have it about something that affects your fucking life. Like these banker cunts. You know? The ones you give your check to every week who are robbing you fucking blind. Can you have outrage about that? How about that? Instead of a fucking sign or pink socks. You know, you're not wearing pink. You don't support. Ah, just go fuck yourself. Sorry. Jesus, where the hell did that all come from? You know why? Because it's May 13th. And then 7. 7's lucky. Can somebody, for the love of fucking God, tell me why 7's lucky? And don't even tell me because it wins on the first roll in craps. Because after that, if you don't roll it then, You fucking crap out on it more time than not. Why is 7 lucky? Because of Burt Jones? What the fuck number was Joe Theismann? Wasn't he number 7? And he got his leg fucking shattered, dude. Got it fucking shattered. Joe Theismann with that fucking, that one goddamn bar across, you know. I don't know. All right. It's not an unlucky day. And if Friday the 13th, bad things come in threes. How old are you? When are you going to fucking grow up and grab the steering wheel, you know, and just stop letting the car float around? And you're living your whole life through fate. You know, I fucking hate when people, are going for something and they don't get it. And then they just, oh, you know, I guess it wasn't meant to be. It wasn't meant to be. You just fucking, you know, you just fucking throw it up in the air like a bunch of fucking confetti. That's your life. How about if you didn't fuck it up, it would have been meant to be, you know? I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about here. Anyways, I am in Boston, Massachusetts right now, and I'm going to go to the game tonight, game seven. The only happy thing about that, it's gone seven games. But I've learned to be, I've learned that this is how the Bruins do it this year. They take the first two periods off, and then they decide to start playing. Oh, no, no, no. Earlier this year, they play the first two periods. They'd score two goals, and then the other team would gradually tie it up, and then we'd lose in overtime. It's been one of the most frustrating years as a fan. I still love him. I still support him, but, you know, I fucking knew it. I'm sounding like Verzi, but I called it after game four. I know yesterday I tweeted that thing. You know, I was trying to have, give the Bruins something positive where I said the Toronto Sun was going to say Blue Jays soar, Leafs fall. But if you really look at my tweet after game four, when we went up 3-1, where I said this series isn't over, I don't want to go back to Toronto. Toronto doesn't deserve to be down 3-1. And I got all that shit from fucking Bruins fans. Do you know what I'm talking about now? Why were you ignoring that that series couldn't have easily been 2-2, if not 3-1 the other way? You know, and not to take anything away from Toronto, but when you don't fucking show up ready to play in the playoffs, you know, what do you think's going to happen? If you don't fucking turn it up a notch until the final 10 minutes of the game. And what fucking kills me is whenever they do that, then they go out and they score a goal. I don't know what it is. I love the Bruins too much to ever say that I don't think that they have what it takes this year. But that's what they keep doing. You know? I feel like Toronto has played more consistently. They shit the bed game one, without a doubt. But other than that, they played great game two. Game three, we kind of got them, but they didn't play bad. And game four was a fucking classic. And then I don't know what we've been doing the last two games, just skating around like we're out there, the ice capade. It's like, oh, maybe this is the game we can close them out. So, but I have faith. I think we're going to do it tonight. I think they're actually going to fucking maybe come out with the same intensity that they had in the final 10 minutes of the last two games. I hope they do, or else we're going to lose. And you know what? We're going to 100% deserve it. And I don't hate Toronto or their fans. There's always a couple of cunty people on Twitter, but I, in general, I like them. And I actually went to a Bruins Toronto game a few years ago. I liked them up there. And congratulations and thank you to the Ottawa Senators for knocking out the hated Habs. I actually watched the replay of the game, wanting to totally enjoy watching all the Canadian fans filing out of the building. And you know what? They didn't. Some of them did, but there's always fair weather fans. But I got to tell you, I actually was impressed. Like 80 to 85% of the Habs fans stayed there. And in the end, even though they were losing like 6-1, they all got up, gave their team a standing ovation, sang that stupid ole, ole, ole song. And I was like, you know what? Those are awesome fans. You know? In Toronto, if you lose tonight, I want to tell you, you have to blame the Canadians, the Canadian fans. All right? Because you guys were already in a bad way until they put that fucking Patrick Walk hex on all of Canada. what they did to arguably the greatest goaltender who ever played the game, the way they fucking humiliated him. And they haven't learned a thing. They still do that sarcastic cheer when their fucking goaltender's getting shelled. They're just always going to be these fucking croissant-eating cunts. Spoiled fucking brats. The most spoiled fans I've ever seen in my fucking life. The way that they treat their own players is horrific. All right? What they did to Patrick Watt, not only fuck them for God knows how long, put a hex on their team. What they did was so disrespectful to the game of hockey that was created in Canada. Not only have the Montreal Canadiens never won another cup since that moment, no other team in Canada has won it. Look at the Vancouver Canucks. They were up 2-0. They had the Bruins right where they wanted them. And then what? Burrows got fucking possessed, decides to bite. Who the fuck did he bite on the Bruins? They woke up the bear. And they proceeded to lose 4 of the next 5 games. And Lord Stanley stayed down in the lower 48. Sorry for all the hockey talk. To all the ladies out there and for all the guys out there who don't watch fucking hockey because you'd rather watch what? Baseball? Is that what you'd rather watch?
Great day for a ball game. It's 0-0 here in the fourth inning. Lovely Mother's Day afternoon. There's a ball outside, and this is the 79th pitch of this at bat. I'll tell you, he's having a heck of a bat. There's a ground ball to second base. Flips it over to first. 2 outs here in the fourth inning. I'll tell you, when you look at this Boston skyline, you know, it's just really wonderful. I like some of my favorite buildings to stare at while I watch this game that's called a sport.
I'm sorry. I cannot get into fucking baseball. I tried watching I haven't watched the Red Sox in so long. Poppy's the only guy left on the team that I even know. It's just been so fucking long since I watched it. You know? It's just everybody was testing positive for steroids, and I was just like, look, either legalize them or get them out of the goddamn game. All right? But stop telling me, getting me all excited about shit, and then 4 years later telling me it didn't really count. You know what I mean? I still love baseball, but I don't know. How do I watch that when playoff hockey's going on? You know what I mean? How about those LA Kings? Huh? Now, right there, that's as a sports fan, that's what I like to see. They go down 2-0, and then they just kind of look around like, oh, are we going to stop fucking around here? And then they just immediately turn it on. That's very impressive considering they won the cup last year, and usually you have the little hangover there. So, all right, I'm done fucking yapping about hockey. Let's get on with the podcast here. So I'm going to go to the game here tonight. Now I'm still talking about hockey. And I got a good feeling that we're actually going to try tonight. That's what I would just like at this point. If we could just maybe try for fucking 3 periods, actually play up to our potential. We still might not win, but can we go down swinging? Can we just fucking do that? Anyways, here's something that somebody sent me. They're working on this microchip that will save your memory. Scientists set to implant device to preserve experiences into brains. A group of U.S. researchers believe that a microchip that will help create memories in damaged brains could be implemented into human volunteers in the next 2 years.
The scientists from the University of Southern California, Wake Forest University, and others have been looking into the hippocampus, the part of the brain that is vital in forming long-term memories for around a decade. Okay, they've been doing this. So this is their way in.
So these wonderful researchers at USC and Wake Forest, as always, their hearts are in the right place. But what kills me is, it's like as they're creating this thing, I always wonder, do they sit around when they create something like this? And did they ever go, good Lord, what if this falls into the wrong hands? What if somebody like Dick Cheney or Donald Rumsfeld or any one of those other guys that looks like they don't even have a fucking heartbeat, what if it falls into their hands? What are they going to do with this shit? I'm telling you. We're all going to be, I might not be microchipped in my lifetime, but I will tell you this, at some point in my lifetime, and I figure they're going to do it through some sort of, like, they're going to scare the fuck out of people that their babies are going to get kidnapped. All right? And that what they're going to do is eventually they're going to pass a law that all babies born from this day on, for their own safety and their own protection, will be microchipped. All right? It's going to creep out a guy like me who isn't microchipped, but I'm going to die off. And then what's going to happen is just people from day one are going to have a microchip in them, and they're not going to question it. And occasionally, somebody will question it, and then they'll just be like, what are you, a fucking conspiracy theorist? Do you realize that if every human being was microchipped, do you realize the ability to revolt, how limited it is? If you ever were to be suddenly under an oppressive power, if everybody was microchipped, you know? And this is what kills me, is I know you, this, most of you are rolling your eyes going, this sounds like crazy talk. You know why? Because you would never do something like that. You know? I don't fucking know. Anyways, let's get into some advertising. That's a nice setup. It's a nice setup from advertising. All right, everybody. Right out of the gate. All right? I've been telling you this for years. You don't have to go to the post office anymore. There's nothing. Okay, stamps.com. Here we go. There's nothing instant about getting postage from the post office. Driving there, parking there. It's a waste of time. So use stamps.com instead. Instantly get postage for any letter or package right from your desk. Stamps.com is so quick and easy to use that even a moron like me can use it. I send out all my DVDs, every last one of them, to all my stand-up gigs. And I do it whenever I want. 2 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon. While I'm eating cereal. While I'm not eating cereal. Buy and print official U.S. postage using your own computer and printer. Stamps.com will send you a digital scale that automatically calculates the exact postage you need. They'll even help you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. No guesswork. Plus, it's convenient. Take care of your mailing and shipping whenever you need to, 24/7, right from your desk. You'll never have to go to the post office again. Just breathe that in, everybody. Isn't that wonderful? Endorsement. Here we go. I use stamps. I already did that. I already told them I did it. What am I going to say it again? Right now, use my last name, Burr, B-U-R-R, for this special offer. No risk trial plus a $110 bonus offer that includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Sorry about saying bonus awful. That was this Freudian slip when I was thinking about this read. Do it right now. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Burr. B-U-R-R, that's stamps.com. Enter Burr. All right, one more here. Strap yourselves in. Personal capital. Personal capital. Two things suck about managing your money. It's hard to keep track of. You got stocks, bonds, 401k, IRA, bank accounts, etc., all on different sites with their own username and password. Then you pay someone to manage it, and you're probably paying too much. That's why you got to go to Personal Capital. It takes under a minute to set up. Just go to the podcast page on BillBurr.com and click on Personal Capital banner, on the Personal Capital banner. Excuse me. Then you can see your whole net worth and how each asset is performing on one screen on your computer or through their app on your phone or tablet. Tablet. What the hell's a tablet? Is that like an iPad? It sounds very biblical. Just pictured myself in a long robe with a white beard holding my tablet. Then it shows you how much you're paying money managers and brokers in fees and how much you can reduce those fees, and even gives you specific areas where you can improve your investment strategy. Basically, what should have been done all the entire time is now finally being done. All right? This thing is a really smart way to make your money grow quicker. It's run by a former CEO of PayPal, and it's totally free. Totally free, everybody. To sign up for free, go to the podcast page on BillBird.com and click on the Personal Capital banner. There you are. All right. So anyways, back to the damn podcast here. As mentioned before, I'm here in Boston. And you know what I didn't realize that I missed? I missed the Chinese food here in Boston. All right? And I ate so much of that shit. I left Boston, Massachusetts in 1995. And at that point, I had gotten drunk so many times and ended up in a Chinese food restaurant that to even smell Chinese food made me, I almost got sick. All right? So now every time I've come back to Boston, I've always avoided it. And I remember one night being at the Laugh Factory talking to Dane Cook, and he told me he had just come back from Boston, and the first thing he did was he went out and got a poo-poo platter and ate all this fucking Chinese food, and I almost got sick as I was listening to him. Chicken fingers, crab rangoon, all this East Coast Chinese food. I was so fucking sick of it. And I was actually laughing to myself as he was telling me the story, like thinking to myself that this guy must really love Chinese food, you know? And then I realized that he doesn't drink like me, so he probably didn't OD on it like an asshole at 3 in the morning for 20 years straight like I did. Not 20 years, more like 8, but it was, but it felt like 20, you know? So anyways, the other night, I had an amazing night. I went to my alma mater. And old Billy Redface got himself an award. It was a very overwhelming night, actually. I couldn't even get through my friggin' speech. I had to, like, cut it short because I was getting all emotional like a little fucking schoolgirl there. What I meant to say that night, by the way, for anybody who was there, was that Emerson College, it really changed my life because I was absolutely flailing in my life. At that point, I was a 22-year-old. I had just finished my freshman year of college at 22, and I didn't take any time off. I was going to college from the time I graduated until the time I was 22. All right? Basically 3.5, 4 years at that point. And I had just finished my freshman year. I was a convicted drunk driver. I had a giant orange afro. I didn't have anything. I had nothing going on. And I transferred to Emerson College. And then immediately, I don't know, I those kids were the same kind of weird that I was. Some more weird, some less weird, but in general. And I got there with the sole purpose of getting over the fear of standing in front of a crowd. So every class, basically at that school, you could somehow ham it up and get out in front of the class. And that's what I did. And I got involved in radio because I felt like if I could talk on a mic to people that I couldn't see. And I don't know, within a year there was a talent contest. The next thing you know, I'm doing stand-up comedy. So that's what I wanted to say. So thank you to Emerson College and thank you for giving me the award. It was unreal. Unreal night. Stephen Wright, former Emerson student, actually presented the award, said a bunch of nice things, and it was too much. Too much. I got to tell you that. So anyway, so later on that night, I got to go back to that. I was literally blown away. You know, this is a guy that I saw make Johnny Carson like laugh like I'd never seen him laugh. Like you could tell that he knew that this just wasn't another comic, that this was one of those guys that comes along once every 15, 20, 25 years. And to have him present the award, it was amazing. So definitely a big thanks to him. So anyway, so later on that night, I hook up with some of my family. I'm having a couple of beers. And it's like, oh, next thing you know, it's 2 a.m. I'm in the outskirts of Boston. Everybody's getting hungry. There's only one fucking thing left to do. Let's go get some Chinese food. And I'm thinking, I don't want to get Chinese. I didn't really think one way or the other. And we sat down at this place, the fucking Tahiti, out in Dedham, Massachusetts. and sat down. We got crab rangoon. We got that those gelatinous fucking ribs. I got some egg rolls, some fried rice, and I have to tell you, it was fucking delicious. The greatest things I've had, the greatest meals I've had since I can remember. And I know it all went straight to my artery, and it's still sitting in there, and I'm amazed that I don't have chest pains right now. I'm smart enough to not go get it again, but that's how good it was, because then I'll OD on it again, but I'm fucking pissed that I didn't get chicken. Chicken fingers are fucking gross, though. It's basically, it looks like like Dikembe Mutombo's finger, except lighter, but just as long. Do you remember when, in Living Color, when they used to make fun of Arsenio putting that one finger in the air and they made it like extra long? That's the shape of it. I don't know what part of the chicken is shaped like that. That was the big joke. Chickens don't have fingers. What the fuck is this? It's basically like 9 million chickens. They all mash together, and then they just start chopping them up in the shape of a giant fucking index finger. Then they bread the shit, and they deep fry it. Then they give you some duck sauce, and then you eat it at 2:30 in the morning, and it goes right to your fucking heart. So anyways, I don't even know what the point of that story is. Am I literally giving a shout out to food at this point? Why not? Anyways, oh, by the way, I'm going to be in Las Vegas this weekend coming up at the Mirage Casino. I think there are a couple of tickets left. This is my big, you know, first time I've ever headlined Las Vegas at one of the major casinos. I've done some of the smaller ones, but this is the first time. So I feel like this is my first official one. So I'm basically going to be coming out on stage the way the Bruins play in the final 10 minutes of a playoff game. Except I'm going to do it from the beginning to the end. Hopefully. Hopefully I don't have a letdown. So anyways, whoever's going to be out there, I hope to see you guys. And with that, let's get to some emails for this week. Been some phenomenal emails over the last couple of weeks, and I think this week's going to be no different. So let's delve in, shall we? Before I do that shit, by the way, somebody told me about, I think I was on the Bob and Tom show, and they told me about this Daily Mail website, and it's one of the most depressing websites I've ever been to in my life. Terror at the Mother's Day Parade. This is the headlines. Horrific moment. Three gunmen opened fire in broad daylight during street festival, leaving 19 people, including two young children, injured. Judge bans girl, 14, from every school in county after she films herself mercilessly beating another student as a gang of 30 classmates watch. So they're already depressing you. And then they try to fucking lighten it up by a little bit by saying a braless Jennifer Aniston is steered around by Justin. I don't know who Justin is. I guess that's her boyfriend. But even then, it's kind of negative. He's steering her around like, what, Jennifer can't go where she... I want to go into Abercrombie. Get over here, bitch! I got a couple. Are these the worst passengers of all time? Bloggers expose the rudest, most disgusting commuters in New York. One of them's just a girl eating food. I don't think that's bad. Another one's a fucking out-of-shape transvestite or a cross-dresser with his fucking sports bra on and his big belly hanging out. Somebody doing a split. I don't know. Look at Richard Nixon's fucking grandson and heiress. Jesus Christ, look at the fucking gigantic rack on her. You know what is funny, though? The Church of Scientology got busted for photoshopping in more people at an event in Portland to make it seem like a huge crowd when in reality only 750 people were there. Or the Catholic Church is fucking trying to ruin Scientology and claiming that they photoshopped people in when they didn't. You know, kind of like how the NFL tried to stop the AFL. Who knows? But I can tell you what, you can take both those religions and toss them in the fucking trash. You know? How old are you people? Nobody knows what's out there after you die. All right? Stop getting up early on Sunday. There's really no point to it. Sleep in. Real age. What's up, Bill? This is so-and-so in such-and-such city. Me and my fiance are getting married soon, and her fucking Wookiee of a mother or the rest of her family still don't know how old I am. Well, that's great, sir. That's a great way to start a relationship for the rest of your life. She is 23, and I'm 37. We've been making each other come for 3 years now. Any advice on how to break this info to these cunts? Yeah, I have some advice. Why don't you call off the fucking marriage? Why don't you do that? All right? Considering this is the woman that you love, and the way you describe your relationship is that you make each other come for the last 3 years, you're describing the mother of this woman you allegedly love as a fucking Wookiee. Yeah. But considering she's probably going to age like her, I guess she's eventually going to turn into a Wookiee too. I don't know, dude. You don't sound like you're mature enough. But you could also just be trying to make me laugh. So I have no idea. Wow, it's a little late for this, sir. You know, this is actually ruined because I went to a wedding. This is why I'm back here in Boston. I actually went to a wedding, one of the great weddings I ever. Is there anything fucking better than going to a wedding where the two people look like they should be getting married? You just see it. You feel the spark between the two of them. There's nothing better. You combine that with great food and an open bar and a great live band. I'll tell you got yourself a hell of an evening. I went to an awesome wedding this weekend. Me and the lovely Nia, we had a great time. And now I got to read this shit. Any advice on how to break this info to these cunts? Yeah, I'd write a poem. I'd figure out what rhymes with 37. Maybe you could sing it to them. I love your daughter. When I'm with her, it's heaven. Oh, by the way, I got great pubes. 'Cause I'm 37. Yeah. Sorry about that, you fucking Wookiee. How about that? Why don't you do something like that? I don't know how to do that, sir. I've never been involved in a lie that deep. That's some deep shit there, sir. Listen. You're going to have to fucking tell them soon, or the only way out of this is there's going to be a couple of body bags. All right? What's wrong with you? Why didn't you tell them out of the gate? You know why? Because you feel like a creep, don't you, sir? You feel like a creep. You know? When you make references to Britney Spears and she doesn't even know who that is. That's actually me. You know, the other night I used that reference because I needed a reference for a floozy, and I threw out Britney Spears, and like this younger crowd just sat there staring at me, and I actually did the math in my head, and I had to be like, wait a minute, Britney Spears is now a 32-year-old divorced mother of two, and I was just like, Jesus Christ, I'm fucking old. Who is the floozy reference of the moment? You know, you can't even say Lady Gaga at this point. She's so fucking old now, she had to get a hip replacement. You know, like your grandmother. Taylor Swift, right? Maybe it's her. Taylor Swift looks like one of those cats that just fucking creeps you out. You know that voodoo shit, like they sit on your chest and they suck the soul out of you? She is that, like, you could never snuggle with her and not feel that she was slowly killing you. You know, do you think she sleeps in a pod? Doesn't she have like that? That web toe look about her. That's really mean, but I don't know. I saw this thing on her 60 Minutes one time, and the crowd was cheering, and she looked up in the upper deck, and she just did the creepiest look to the upper deck and just went, oh, my God. Like, really, like, this totally phony, like, I can't believe you guys are cheering at me like that. I don't know. Oh, Christ, I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. Past his prime. Prime? Hello, William. I need some advice. By the way, you guys, you all realize I'm a moron, right? I flunked everything in high school. Okay? This is on you. If you take my advice and it doesn't work, you know, you should go talk to somebody who actually is professionally gives out advice. And part of your therapy session should be why you take advice from somebody who doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. Oh, Bill, shut up and just read it. Okay, all right. Hi, Bill. I need some advice. My fiance and I used to have an insane sex life, 2 to 3 times a day, crazy marathon sex sessions. We used to celebrate Sexter Day. What does that mean? What is that, when you reminisce about how much you fucked yesterday? Ah, you kids, I don't even know what you're talking about. Sexter Day, boo-boo. Oh, my fucking seems so far away. I put it in your ass and not because I'm gay. I just fucked your veg enough fucking times. Ooh, your fucking veg. You know, it's like I woke up and the lyrics just came to me to the point I thought, did someone else talk about this? Somebody else already write this song? Not for lack of trying on my part. I love giving him blowjobs. Oh, what a champ. She says she loves giving blowjobs. And now he always says, not right now, when I try. We welcomed our first baby 6 months ago. I am now in better shape than I was before I got pregnant. I do yoga and run every day and feel sexier than ever. I am 22 and he is 40. Is he past his prime? He's been stressed out lately. Does that keep men from getting it up? He was my first, so the only thing I know about male sexuality is what I know about him. Usually he can't keep his hands off me. Help, Bill. It's hard not to take this personally. Thank you. Well, aren't you a sweetheart? You like giving blowjobs and you're very polite. And you know how to write a letter. God damn it, you're a keeper. And you were a virgin at 22. You saved yourself. And here this guy comes along, the grizzled vet in the final year of a 3-year contract. You know? Once you sign the contract, he stops producing. Well, I, for one, I feel for you. Did he watch you give birth? You know, that new thing that they do over the last 20, 30 years? Back in the day, you used to just stand out in the waiting room with a big stogie. Just standing out. How's she doing? Yeah, is her blood pressure dropping? Oh, she passed away on the table? Ah, fucking $120 in cigars out the window. You used to stand out there in the waiting room, you know, and you let the doctors be doctors. I don't understand why the guy has to be in there. I don't. This is a big fucking debate between me and the lovely Nia. Like, I don't understand why you have to fucking be in there. You know, when I go down to Midas Muffler, do I fucking stand underneath it as he's sitting there and the sparks are flying? I don't know how to weld. You know? Hey, you got a busted aspirator tube. I don't know where that is. I don't know what it is. Why am I there? You know? I should be out in the fucking waiting room. So anyways, did he stand there and then just watch something alive come out of your vagina? And maybe it's kind of... Because I hear that guys have, like, maybe performance issues after that. You know? There's a whole bunch of things that could be going on here. So I don't want to put too many. How are you guys doing financially? How is his job security? You know, does he spend a lot of money? Is this the other shoe about ready to drop? Are you one of those couples that I see on those reality shows? You know, does he wear like a lot of T-shirts or like button-down shirts that have a lot of designs on them? A lot of drawing? You know, does he fake tan? Is he one of those guys? Because if he's one of those guys, then I would guess that you're actually broke and have been broke for 8 months and he doesn't know how to tell you. But if he's a regular guy. All right, I'm joking around too much about this. This is actually a serious thing. All right, help me, Bill. It's hard not to take this personally. I would bring it up to him. You got to sit down and hopefully... He's not a walled-off emotional psycho like most guys. If you bring it up, And hopefully you can bring it up to him without him getting mad. But that's what I would do. I'd bring it up and just be like, hey, you know, you haven't been banging me lately. And I know I'm looking pretty good. And you used to do it all the time. What's the deal? You know, just that's the essence of it. Just stretch that out into about 8 minutes and say a lot of loving things. Do that thing where you put your hand on the, you know, the women, they put their hand on their forearm, on the dude's forearm, and they move, you move your thumb side to side. And just be like, hey, how come we're not fucking anymore? I don't know how to do it. That's what I would do. I think you need to talk to him rather than me. I would not take it personally. You know, you're a fucking champ. You love giving blowjobs. You're in the prime of your life. You had a kid. What did you do? You got yourself right back in shape. You're in the best shape of your life. It's not on you. So I wouldn't take it personally. So there's obviously something going on with him. And you love the guy. So try to help him bring it out. You know? Oh, Jesus. All right. There you go. There's that. I hope that helped. I don't fucking know. Let's take a break from my ignorant my ignorant fucking advice to talk to you about this, everybody. E-voice. E-voice is the reason you're going to make more money in 2013. Well, actually, it's your great idea combined with e-voice. All right, e-voice, don't take all the credit, you know? All right, when your customers call, you'll have your own toll-free number, professional greeting, dial-by-name directory, and more. You'll sound more like a Fortune 500 company, and you'll blow away your competitors. eVoice lets you give out one number that rings wherever you are, the beach, the bar, doesn't matter. You'll sound like you're at the office. You got to go to eVoice.com and use the promo code Bill. eVoice even takes all your voicemails, transcribes them, and sends them to you instantly as a text or email. So you can check your voicemails before the meeting ends, not to even look rude. You know, you won't even look rude. eVoice is only 10 bucks a month. 10 bucks a month so your new little company can sound like a Fortune 500 company. It's an absolute bargain. Right now, listeners to my podcast get a free trial of eVoice for 30 days. Stop what you're doing right now. Hit pause, set up your eVoice trial, and see what I'm talking about. It's a great way to support my podcast, and it's an easy way to make money this year. Go to eVoice.com, promo code Bill. That's eVoice.com. Promo code Bill, or just go to the podcast page on BillBird.com and click on the eVoice banner ad right now. Okay. Now, you know when I bring this stuff up, you know that Father's Day is coming up. Oh, speaking of which, yesterday I took my mother out for an ice cream for Mother's Day. And I got up to the window and I realized I didn't have any money, and then she had to pay for it. I did hit an ATM on the way home, but it really kind of killed a lot of the vibe. But anyways, I was happy to be home for Mother's Day. So after Mother's Day, what comes next, everybody? Memorial Day. What comes after that? Flag Day. What comes after that? Father's Day. Actually, I think Father's Day is before Flag Day. And what do I sell you every year? The Man Great System. The Man Great System, everybody. This Father's Day, think the man great. What is the man great, you ask? What is the man great you think of as you rub your chin? This is what they are. These are actually great. I wish they had these when I was a kid, when I was growing up on my little hibachi. They're 100% made in America. Made in America? Cast iron grilling grates that are revolutionizing the way people grill. Heavy-duty grilling grates deliver exactly what you need to achieve that perfect steakhouse flavor. Chicken, steak, or veggies will never have tasted so good. No more flare-ups, no more dry meat, guaranteed. Name one of 2012's best grilling accessories by Men's Health Magazine. Basically what they are is, you know when you buy some cheap-ass grill and they give you those little aluminum, you know, that grilling grate? This gives you the big steel ones, just like at the steakhouse. So it's basically like you went out and you bought some hatchback with the four-cylinder. All right, the Man Great System allows you the ability to rip that four-cylinder out of the car and put a good old-fashioned American V8 on top. It's phenomenal. Man Greats are perfect, the perfect gift for Father's Day. Come on, every man loves to grill. Go to Mangrate.com and enter the coupon code BURR, B-U-R-R, for their $19.99 Father's Day special, or click the Mangrate banner on the show website. 100% made in America, 100% cast iron, 100% steakhouse quality in your backyard. All right? Remember, each Monday morning podcast order comes with a heavy-duty grilling brush. Again, that's the Mangrate Grill Enhancement System. Order today, Mangrate.com, and enter the coupon code BURR, B-U-R-R, at the checkout. All right, there you have it. So back to the questions here. Where the hell am I? All right. Can we find it? There we go. All right, this one's titled, oh, Jesus. Dear Billy Goat Fuckface. There's a new one. I am a 23-year-old man from Paducah, Kentucky. Now, why would you tell me that? I didn't want to read that. There's probably 18 people in your town, right? Needless to say, there isn't much to do. About 5 months ago, I met a girl who's 2 years younger than me and moved into town from fucking East Cungamonga. We hit it off almost instantly. It was great. You know what? I'm going to have somebody bleep out this city. All right? I got to have them bleep out the city and the state. He goes, we hit it off almost instantly. It was great. She is beautiful, educated, and has a great ass. Sorry. A little Al Pacino for you. We took things slow, and I found that to be something unique in today's time. Most girls give it up within a day or two, but she wanted to take things slow, and I appreciated that. I found myself falling head over heels for this girl. I hadn't been with anyone in over 2 years, and I felt that I felt as if she was a sign that maybe there was a bit of hope in this world to be happy. And she communicated with me that she felt the same way. Okay, so about 2 weeks ago, we went out to a bar and we had some drinks, played some pool and had a great time and ended up getting a little frisky with each other. I drove her home totally expecting that tonight would be the night I was going to bang this beautiful woman. When we reached her driveway, we started making out in the car and asked if she wanted to come in. She got real quiet and said under her breath, yes, but. And of course I said, but what? And that's when she told me she is a transsexual. I literally yelled. I was so shocked by what I heard, I could hardly keep myself together. And I told her, him, whatever, that I wasn't going to go upstairs with her and I would call her tomorrow. And she got out of the car crying and said, I was born this way, like some Lady Gaga shit. Wait a minute, trans, what is transsexual? Like a hermaphrodite? Wait a second. Ah, oh, Jesus, Bill, you're too fucking dumb. Why do you guys write me? Is this the fun part of it? Just finding out how fucking dumb I am? Transsexual. This is hilarious. Now I have this on my search engine. Transsexual. And Nia will use my computer and look up like transcontinental and transsexual is going to come up. Bill, is there something we need to talk about? Transsexual. Here we go. A person who's undergone a sex change operation. A person whose sexual identification is entirely with the opposite sex. All right, well, that just made me even more confused. So if you had an operation, how were you born this way? Or the person saying, I just identified with being a female. Oh, I see. Okay, so they had the dude had a sex change operation. Okay. He goes, I haven't spoke to her since. It's S-I-N-C-E, not S-E-N-C-S-E. That night, besides a few text messages. She's going on about how much she loves me and she is sorry she didn't tell me sooner. It's even gone as far as me having to turn off my phone because she won't stop calling. I've never been pursued like this before. What do I do? Part of me actually feels bad, but I can't see myself banging an ass every night while my sweaty balls slap against her sweaty balls. Now, wait a minute. I thought the person had the operation. Don't they remove that? You know, I don't fucking know. Regardless of how gay this may sound, I still think she is incredibly hot. I knew it was too good to be true. Should I tell her that I'm just not interested anymore and completely cut her off, or should I be her friend? Or should I go bang her ass? It's weird. The thought of banging her ass excites me, but the thought of her junk swinging around makes me want to throw up just thinking about it. Thanks, Bill, and come do a show in such and such state sometime, you fuck. What should you do? I don't know. I honestly don't know. What's funny is you're literally just like, you're mentally where she is sexually. You know? I don't know. Like, it's like you're standing on the state line and you got a foot in either state. Just like her. You know? So, I think your emotions are normal. And I hate when fucking people get offended by this shit. And they go, that fuck are you? You know, they get all offended like that dude is now a woman. It's like, no, that is a dude that fucking is a different kind of dude now. You know, that's not a woman. It's still a dude. It's just a different kind of dude. You know what it's like? You ever see when somebody buys an old car and they take all the chrome off it? They want that nice clean look. Yeah, that's what they do to their crotch. You know, that's a dude that took the chrome off. You know, I don't know what to tell you. Other than I don't know. That fucking. I don't know. Do whatever the fuck you want to do. Is what I would say. Let me go back and read what you said. Should I tell I'm not interested anymore? Completely cut her off. All right, part of me actually feels bad because I can't see myself banging an ass every night while my sweaty balls slap against her sweaty balls. Well, if it makes you feel better, I don't think the balls are there anymore. Although, they might have kept them like a hood ornament. I have no idea. Oh, Jesus. I really am a moron. Regardless of how gay this may sound, I still think she's incredibly hot. You know, why don't you just split the difference and get a blowjob? I don't know what to tell you. That's so funny. I knew it was too good to be true, this poor bastard. I would say this. I'd say you'd want to sit on that decision. Don't be like the Baltimore Colts in the 1983 draft. Did you guys just watch that 30 for 30 where they immediately walked up 2 seconds in and they selected John Elway? You know, rather than fucking waiting the full 2 minutes or whatever to see if anybody gave him an offer. And then they ended up with nothing. I'd sit on this one for a minute. And I think that this person's actually pursuing you the way that they are because they're in a desperate situation, which is the whole thing is in reality, the whole thing is unfortunate. You know, people should be able to be who they are. You should be able to like who you like. And that person should be able to, from day one, say that they're transsexual without getting judged. The reason why they didn't say it was because they were worried about this fucking moment here, which once again is another sad, depressing thing about humanity. I would say follow your heart, sir. You know? And not your balls. If you really want to find love. There you go. Balls in your court. No pun intended. All right. Advice for a young lady. Hey, Billington. Very, very original ones this week. People coming up with different ways to butcher my name. I'm enjoying these. I am in need of some advice for a young lady. And I love that some women are actually piping in, despite the fact how much I talk about hockey on this podcast. What are you saying? Women don't like hockey? Yes, this is what I'm saying. I'm an 18-year-old high school senior entering my freshman year of college. I got into my dream school with a scholarship. Do you know how bad I wish that I did that? Wish I studied in high school. Anyways, and I'm moving out of my shithole town, and everything finally seems to be making up for all the shit that I went through in high school. One of my really good friends is going to the same university as I am, and we're renting an apartment together. However, my friend is an 18-year-old straight guy, and I am a straight girl. Uh-oh. The gender thing could add a whole other level of difficulty on top of adjusting to living with a new person in a new city, away from everything I grew up around. We've been friends practically since we were in diapers. We can talk, jam out to 70s rock, and watch the Chappelle Show for hours, and we've never had issues with weirdness before. But I do understand that college introduces a lot of firsts, and I'm not going to lie, I'm a little nervous that having a few too many drinks during a welcome weekend could lead to some inappropriateness. Weirder things have happened. I don't want to do anything to jeopardize our nearly 2-decade-long friendship. So this kind of sounds like you're a little attracted to this guy, if you're this worried that something's going to happen. Or maybe you're 18, you're going from your parents' house to all of a sudden living with the guy. Maybe that's what it is. I'm going to guess that that's what it is. So my question. What tips do you have to stop anyone from stepping over the line with the male/female roommate? Also, in general, what tips do you have for living with a roommate? Nia's opinion on this would be epic. Thanks, and fuck you. Yeah, that was Nia's great fuck you last week. You know what? Maybe this Wednesday I will do another Nia-log, and I'll read this one. But right now I'll just give you my own ignorant thought on it. Oh, wait. By the way, there's a PS to this, everybody. There's an epilogue, just like the streets of San Francisco. PS, might I add that we've both been in various relationships while friends. He often asks me for girl advice, and I ask him for guy advice. He currently has a girlfriend who I really like and am friends with, but they are breaking up in June when she leaves to study abroad. I am currently single. Oh, yeah. You guys are going to bang within fucking 8 minutes. Within 8 minutes of your college career. All right. So basically what you want to do, you're not asking me should you or should you not move in with this guy. You're going to move in with this guy. So what you're really saying is basically, how do I not fuck this guy? Well, I can only do it from the male perspective, which is what I would do is every morning before I ever even walked out into the living room was I would rub one out. Oh, God. To try to get that fucking, urge out of me. I think what you need to do is sit down and talk with the guy. And just say, listen, we have a great friendship, but I don't want to ruin this. I know we're moving in together and everything. But, obviously we're going to be in close quarters, sharing a bathroom and blah, 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 blah. You know what you have to do? You have to lay down the law if that's what you really want to do. But if you actually like this guy, like I think you might, if you actually like him and think you could actually, did I just say that? If you like him, do you know what I mean? Do you? Oh my God, you guys, this could be the one. If you actually like this dude like that, then you should not move in with him. You should be in a separate apartment. And that way, if you start dating him, you don't immediately start by living with one another. That's just too far down the road. So what I would do if I was you is I would sit down and talk to him. Okay? If you don't like this guy like this and you really want to preserve your friendship, I would sit down and have a talk with him and just say, listen, we cannot get drunk and make out and fucking round second base, slide into third. We can't do this shit. All right? Okay? I'm telling you that right now. It's not happening. Or whatever you got to say. Or if you actually really like this guy, you got to tell him that. Just say, I think maybe I like you a little more than just friends. I don't know. I don't know if this is just a little phase. I have no idea. But if that's the case, I don't want to move in with you. You know? Does that make sense? You know what? You're right. There's going to be a neologue this week, everybody. Fuck this. I'm too dumb to answer this one. This one involves feelings that I don't understand. All right? So, basically, that's the podcast for this week, everybody. Once again, I want to thank Emerson College for giving me that award. And I want to thank Stephen Wright for bringing me up and saying all those nice things that he did. And lastly, but not leastly, I'm going to be at the Mirage Casino in Las Vegas this Friday and Saturday night. Then I have a week off, and then I'm going to do a nice tour through Jersey, Maryland, and Baltimore. I'll be at the Count Basie Theater on May 29th with the Teen Idol Sensation, fresh off his hit half-hour special on Comedy Central. We're going to be at the Count Basie Theater in Red Bank, New Jersey on June 30th. I will be in Baltimore, Maryland. Sorry, I don't have the name of the theater in front of me. On the 31st of June, of May, also known as June 1st. Or is there a 31st? There is a 31st, May 31st. I will be in Easton, Pennsylvania. And then on June 1st, I'll be in Atlantic City for two shows. So if you're in or around that area, why don't you come on out? You know, come out to some shows. And hopefully I'll make you laugh your ass off there. Oh, hey, and I got to thank that crowd that came out to the Bottle Rocket Music Festival. I did a show at 4 in the afternoon while a band was playing right next door. And I fought through that bass line that was crushing all of my jokes. And the level of patience that crowd showed was phenomenal. All right, so here we go. That's the podcast for this week. Go fuck yourselves. Don't take any shit from anybody. And a last little bit of advertising here. Ladies and gentlemen, now that the show is over, go sign up for your free account with Personal Capital so you can see all of your assets on one screen, pay less in broker fees, and make all your investments grow faster. Go to the podcast page on BillBurr.com. Click on the Personal Capital banners. That's the podcast page on BillBurr.com to click on the Personal Capital banner and set up your free account. And also, now that the show is over, go set up your free trial of eVoice so you can start making more money. Go to eVoice.com and use your promo code Bill. That's eVoice.com, promo code Bill, or just go to the podcast page on BillBurr.com and click the eVoice banner right now. All right, have a wonderful week. And I'll talk to you about Vegas next week. All right? Go Bruins. I have no hate towards Toronto. All right? Okay. So I don't care when you send me your obnoxious stuff. I know you guys are just excited because you haven't won anything since 1967. You know, which is rough. Does anybody deserve that? No. Except for Montreal Canadian fans. All right. See you.